This has been nothing short of a whirlwind. Of course, we all knew that 3 days would spin through very quickly. But I can hardly believe we're already pulling down the curtain on this online weekend mission. Allow me, on your behalf, to sincerely thank all who have taken up their place in front of the camera in preaching, testimonies, children's stories, singing, musical items. They have all been brilliant. Plus, the army of people who have shared and prayed for this weekend. I can't thank you enough. And naturally, I thank everyone who has listened and watched these online meetings. I trust they've been a blessing, a challenge, and by God's Holy Spirit provided the persuasion you needed to call on Christ alone for salvation. Tonight we have a mother and daughter combination. Daughter Abigail will present the children's story. Her mum Beata is giving her testimony. You will want to tune into that. Reverend Thomas Laverty will be preaching the word. And, well, calling all children here, your question is found tonight in Mr. Laverty's message.
Today's story takes us back to World War II to meet Judy, the dog, who became an international hero. She was the mascot on several ships in the Pacific, but was captured by the Japanese in 1942 and taken to a prisoner of war camp. This is where she met aircraftsman Frank Williams, who shared a small portion of rice with her, and from that moment on, the two became inseparable. Judy always sought to protect and strengthen Frank and the other prisoners, hunting for food and even guiding them to safety following a shipwreck. When the war ended, Judy was awarded the Dickin Medal, which is the Victoria Cross for Animals, for her tremendous courage in the Japanese war camps, which helped to encourage the prisoners and save lives. As Judy saved many lives, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners like you and me. Judy also brought joy, and the children's chorus says, "If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart." At the same time, Frank was awarded the White Cross of St. Giles for his devotion and friendship to Judy. As Frank was a faithful friend to Judy, the Lord Jesus Christ is the best friend that you can ever have. Jesus says in John 15:14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." When Judy died, aged 13, Frank built a stone memorial in her memory, which included a plaque describing her life story. Judy's memorial and plaque remind me of God's memorial for each one of us. This consists of two books. The first book is the Book of Life, which contains the names of everyone who has ever lived on this earth. The second book is the Lamb's Book of Life, and that contains only the names of those who have asked the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts to be their Saviour and are washed in His precious blood. The Bible says it is only those names in the Lamb's Book of Life that can go to heaven, and so, as Judy eagerly sought Frank out at all times, I ask everyone listening to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near.
Speaking life, so to share with you a brief word of testimony of how I came to know the Lord as my Saviour. I was brought up in Bavaria, Germany, in a small village close to the Austrian border. In fact, Hitler's birthplace in Austria, a town called Braunau, is less than half an hour's drive away from where I grew up and where my mum and brothers still live today. Germany is so much associated with the Protestant Reformation, but in Germany there's a distinct north-south divide. Bavaria in the south is predominantly Roman Catholic, and I also was brought up in the Roman Catholic faith. I cannot recall of ever hearing of my need of salvation in all the 20-odd years that I lived there. As a child, I went to the village chapel with my family, and throughout my teenage years I kept attending Mass, though this became less and less frequent as the years went on. However, I always did believe that there is a God and a Creator, but I thought that being baptised, confirmed, belonging to the Church was all that was required. When I went to university, I enjoyed the so-called freedom that came with it, living away from home and only coming home at the weekends. It was in my second year at university that I heard of a new student exchange programme which was about to be trialled. I applied for one of the three places on offer and was very happy to learn that I had been accepted. I arrived at Jordanstown in January 1987, and after a period of settling in, I soon got to know other students, and this is when I first met my husband Carl. Carl was the first person that ever witnessed to me about my need of salvation. He always carried a New Testament in his pocket and was keen to witness and share his faith at any opportunity. And one day he extended an invitation to attend a Sunday night gospel service at the Martyrs Memorial to hear Mr. Paisley preach. I was happy to accept, but I found it really hard to follow the service, partly because of the language barrier and partly because of it being so different to the way I was used to. But the seed was planted in my soul, and with it began a period of searching for the truth and a questioning of my standing before God. Carl gave me a copy of the New Testament and encouraged me to read the Bible. When I asked where I should start, he simply told me, at the beginning, and so I did. And by the time I had finished reading the book of John, and with many a guidance and patient explanations from Carl in between, I slowly came to realise that simply belonging to a church because you were brought up in it would never do. I needed to belong to Jesus, and for this to happen, I had to come by the way of the cross and be born again. As Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I got saved in May 1987 in my room at Jordanstown when I called on the Lord to forgive me my sins and be my Saviour. It was time for me to return to Germany a few months after I got saved to finish my education. And this period in my life was quite uncertain in many ways, as I did face some opposition to my new faith at home. But it was also a period of great blessing and knowing God's keeping and claiming His promises. Trying to find a Bible-believing church proved very difficult, but the Lord was good, and I had the opportunity to attend a Bible study group during term time and a Baptist church on Sundays. And I believe it was God's guiding hand when I got the opportunity to return to Northern Ireland to work with my placement company after graduating in 1988, and I've been living here ever since. Carl and I got married in 1992, and the Lord blessed us with two children, Abigail and Josiah. Over the years, like every other person or family, we have also experienced many trials. When going through difficult times, the way ahead often seems clouded. But we have learned to say, as the hymn writer puts it, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. About 2.5 years ago, my father was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, and he died within 6 months of his diagnosis. On my last visit, he was unable to move, eat, or communicate, but his mind was as active as ever and as alert as ever, and I had the opportunity to witness to him of his need of salvation. I don't know if my father ever did put his trust in the Lord Jesus, but when witnessing to him, I was able to use a German gospel tract which was given to me a number of years earlier by a young teenager doing some outreach work in a local town. This person will never know what it meant to me to have this tract, and it should encourage us all to know that our labours for the Lord are never in vain, no matter how small they appear to be. As I look back over these many years, I can clearly see God's guidance in my life. I have proved over and over again the words of Hebrews 13 and 5, where Jesus promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So therefore, I would urge all that are listening to this service, who as yet have never asked the Lord Jesus into their heart, in the words of Psalm 34 and 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him." Thank you.
I want to read some verses tonight from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. If you have your Bible and you're watching on, you want to read these verses with me. If not, you just listen, because I'm going to read the first four verses of Romans chapter 10 and then read verse number 13 of the Romans 10. So Romans 10, verses 1 to 4, and then verse 13. Let us hear the word of God. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to every heart. We'll just have a moment's prayer before we look at what the Lord would say to us tonight from the scriptures. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his blood, we give this broadcast into thy hands. We pray, O God, that you'll take your word and use it in the hearts of all that will hear it. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost. Grant that anointing to preach the gospel and answer prayer and glorify Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Thomas Chalmers, a Scottish Presbyterian who died in Edinburgh in May 1847, said this when thinking about eternity and the need to prepare for it. He said, the preparation needed for a coming eternity is that you believe what the Bible tells you and do what the Bible bids you. The preparation needed for a coming eternity is that you believe what the Bible tells you and do what the Bible bids you. Because men and women and young people watching this broadcast, all you need to know about death, about eternity, about being ready for it, is found in the Bible, is found in the Word of God. Now, we have read tonight from the Scriptures in Romans chapter 10. And I want to show you five things from this chapter that I want you to think about as we think about the subject of your coming eternity. The first thing I want to show you is, in Romans 10, is we see the heart's desire of a preacher. Verse number 1 we see, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My heart's desire, Paul says, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, desire, as you know, flows from the heart. And the apostle here is speaking about his desire that he had for those he knew, for those he maybe grew up with, fellow country people. It was a desire in his heart that caused him to pray for them. And in his heart, he longs for something. He longs that they would be saved. That's what he says, that they might be saved. You may say, saved from what? Saved from sin and its penalty? For we all have sinned. We've all broken the moral law. Saved from sin and its power, for we're all under it. Saved from sin and its eternal punishment, because every unsaved soul is going in that awful direction. And Paul, he says in these very heartfelt words, my heart's desire and my prayer for these people is that they would be saved. Now, I grant you, there is no Apostle Paul preaching here tonight. But nevertheless, it is my desire and my prayer. It is the desire and prayer of those in Martyrs Memorial who are running this online mission, that the people that watch these broadcasts might be saved. That is our desire for you. That is our prayer for you, that you might come to our Christ and be saved by him. There's desire here. But there's also a delusion in this portion of Scripture. Because look at verse 2. Paul speaks about these people. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. What's Paul saying there? In other words, their efforts, their zeal in religion, it wasn't according to Scripture. They were missing the mark. He goes on to say in verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of Christ. They were trying to establish their own righteousness. You say, what does that mean? They were trying by their good works to earn merit with God, earn favour with God, maybe church attendance, helping people. But the whole time their sole motive is by their good works, by their own efforts to get them to heaven. And Paul's heart is heavy because he knows it's not going to work. The Bible makes it clear that we can earn no merit with God by our own efforts, because all our efforts are tainted by sin. And dear unsaved, listening to this broadcast, there's only one life, one righteousness God accepts. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's Jesus Christ. Paul says they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They haven't submitted themselves to the righteousness of Christ. They have been deceived, and they're looking somewhere else other than Jesus Christ alone for salvation. It's a delusion. It's a deception. And dear people, if you're not looking alone to Christ for salvation and for heaven at the end of the journey, you've been deceived. Because Paul not only shows them a desire here, a delusion, but he shows them a deliverer. Verse number 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ now shows them the only way to be saved. Christ is the end of the law. The word end, that means fulfiller. The law in view is the moral law that you and I have broken time without number. Christ is the fulfiller of the moral law for all that will trust in Him, for all that will look to Him. The moral law, the Ten Commandments. You think of our Lord and His 33 years on earth from the incarnation to the cross. 33 years when Christ didn't sin, couldn't sin, in Him was no sin, but 33 years providing a righteousness to cover our sin, to cover the guilt of His people, like you and I, who are sinners by birth, nature, and practice. Christ gave this perfect obedience, provided this righteousness in life. And then at the end of life, come with me to Calvary. At the end of that 33 years, Christ went to the cross. And there He died in the sinner's place, paid for the sinner's sin, paid for it by His own blood. That blood that the disciple Peter called precious blood. That blood that the disciple John called cleansing blood. And thus, unsaved friend, as you listen to this broadcast, in Christ and in Him alone, you find all you need to be saved, to be pardoned, to be forgiven, to keep you in life and death and eternity. His righteousness will cover your guilt. His obedience will cover your disobedience, and His blood will cleanse you from all sin. Desire, a delusion, but a great deliverer, our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a duty. There's the fourth thing I want to show you. The duty is you need to come to Christ. You need to seek the Lord, as verse 13 says. You need to call upon Him. Repent of sin. Believe the gospel. Those words, seek, call, repent, they're verbs. Dear unsaved, there's action required of you. But you can be sure if you do. You have the promise of verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word saved there, it means made and kept, sound and safe. In time, in death, at judgment, and eternity. But the duty is in you. You must come. You must seek the Lord. Desire, a delusion, a great deliverer, but the duty is upon you. Finally, and it's here by inference, a disaster. If you never come to Christ, my friend, you never will be saved. You'll never enter heaven. And if you don't enter heaven at death, you won't ever enter heaven. But hell will be your eternal home. You can see why Paul has this desire for them. Because we understand that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But the question is, tonight, will you come to Him? The preparation needed for a coming eternity is that you believe what the Bible tells you and do what the Bible bids you. The Bible tells you of Christ. And the Bible bids you to come to him. Will you come? Look to the Saviour. Be washed tonight from all sin. Be saved tonight. You say, preacher, do you mean right now? I mean right now. In your home, wherever you're watching this, come to Christ. Say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Come to him and be saved.
If I come to Jesus, he will make me glad. He will give me pleasure when my heart is sad. If I come to Jesus, happy shall I be. He is gently calling others just like me.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for this grand old gospel promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May many call on thy name tonight in repentance, in faith, and receive cleansing through the great Redeemer's blood. In Jesus' name, amen. The children's question is, what Bible verse did Mr. Laverty preach from tonight? Within seconds, this mission will be over. The Lord has been speaking to you. You may even have tuned in to a previous meeting that ended about a week ago. I plead with you, tonight, not tomorrow, get down on your knees by your bed and ask God to have mercy upon you and save your soul. I leave you with the appeal that comes through. What was my father's favourite hymn? Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly. Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. May you come home in repentance and faith to Christ tonight.